Planting a cover crop in your garden sounds like a wonderful idea, but for some of us, making it happen can be a challenge. Today, we'll talk about cover crops, organic gardening, and new research on the health benefits of organic food. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. Iowa State University Extension Organic Specialist Kathleen Dellett is here. We'll talk about organic gardening and get a preview of the 2018 Iowa Organic Conference coming up next month. ISU Extension Horticulture Specialist Richard Giron will also be here. And Kathleen and Richard will answer your questions about the things you'd like to grow or grow better. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. The 18th Annual Iowa Organic Conference is coming up next month in Iowa City, which makes this a perfect time to focus on organic gardening. So, of course, we'll take all your gardening questions this hour or your landscape questions. But if you've got organic questions burning, today is your day. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.com. Richard Giron will be joining us in just a few minutes. And with me right now is Iowa State University Extension Organic Specialist Kathleen Dellett. Hello, Kathleen.
Hello, Charity.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
And I mentioned the 18th Annual Iowa Organic Conference is coming up. It's in Iowa City every year, coming up on November 18th and the 19th. And what's the focus this year?
This year we're focusing on soils. So our keynote speaker is David Montgomery from the University of Washington. He wrote this famous book called Dirt, The Erosion of Civilization, and traced society's concern for soils to their future and health. And we'll have a lot of other talks about emphasizing the importance of soil, too, in organic farming.
All right. And in talking about soil, obviously, here in Iowa, we're grateful to our incredibly rich black soil that has allowed us to be an agricultural state for so long. In focusing on enriching the soil, just give me a little bit of an idea of what can be done through an organic farming process to, actually improve the soil as opposed to deplete it through agriculture.
Right, yeah. And to be certified organic, you are required to at least maintain and ideally enhance your soil quality. And that's done through requirements for crop rotations. So you can't grow the same crop in the same land every year. So you have to rotate. And usually that means at least three crops in the rotation, like corn, soybean, oats, alfalfa, for example, and back to corn. Or with vegetables, putting in a cover crop every once in a while so you're not just doing vegetables on top of vegetables. And then compost applications are really important, too, for building carbon and adding nitrogen to the soil without the use of synthetic fertilizer, which is disallowed in organic. And then cover crops, as I mentioned, are really important, too. And there's a whole host of those that you can use to help build soil quality. The last thing is reduced tillage. And we're looking into organic no-till as part of our research. That one's a little more tough nut to crack because you can't use herbicides the way conventional no-till folks do. So you're crushing your cover crop with a roller and planting directly into that. And that takes a little tweaking. But fortunately, we just received a big grant from USDA to look at machinery and planter and roller modifications to hopefully tweak that system.
Well, and cover crops are a soil building technique that it's growing among organic farmers. It's also growing among conventional farmers. For people who aren't familiar with the technique, how do cover crops work?
Well, it basically means any crop that covers the soil. In general, you're looking for something that will add nitrogen or carbon to your soil. The most common one you see around Iowa is rye, which is just cereal rye planted in the winter. It survives all winter. If you get it in early enough, it'll sprout before in winter and then resume growth in the spring, and then it just takes off astronomically. And so then in the spring, you have the choice of either tilling it under, which most organic folks do before they'll plant their, for example, we'll follow our corn with rye and then plant soybeans after that. And or you can roll it, as I was talking about. So that's the most common one. But we also have done a lot of experiments with hairy vetch, which is a legume. So it adds nitrogen to the soil. and clovers. There's red clover, white clover, alsoid clover. So there's a host of things you can use for cover crops.
Well, and I think for some of us it may seem a little counterintuitive because we know that plants, of course, take their nutrients from the soil. So how do cover crops enrich the soil?
Well, if they're a legume, they're actually adding nitrogen through this synergistic process in their nodules on their roots that have this bacteria rhizobium in them that helps fix the nitrogen, take the nitrogen out of the atmosphere and fix it in the soil. So legumes are definitely the better thing to add to your, I mean, to use as cover crops, but they're a little tougher to grow and they don't, there's not as many that will overwinter. Hairy vetch is a good one. It'll overwinter pretty well. But we've tried like perceived clover, which is really good for adding nitrogen. And there's another clover we've used too. And they didn't do so well in the winter. If you have a mild winter and or a lot of snow cover, they can get through the winter.
But of course, there's no way to tell.
Exactly. It's rare to have a mild winter too, I'm finding out.
Right. Or a lot of snow cover. We fall somewhere in between most of the time. So it feels like in driving through the countryside, I am seeing more cover crops. From your perspective, and I think that they tend to cluster in different parts of the state. We see, you know, farmers looking at what their neighbors are doing and trying the same practice. Are you seeing a major growth in cover crops in Iowa?
I think you, like you said, just driving around, you do see more. And I'm always, every time we're driving, I say to my husband, look, another field in cover crops. Yay. A lot can be attributed to the state and federal government for providing cost share funds to plant cover crops. Folks can apply for funding for that through NRCS. Organic guys have always used cover crops. So it's hard to say if there's been an increase. If anything, I think there's an increase in this organic no-till of crushing your cover crops as opposed to tilling them under. But even alfalfa and oats and red clover, things that organic folks commonly have on their farms, they can be considered as cover crops.
So how can I bring that home to my garden? How can I use cover crops on that small plot of land?
Right. I know. It is. It's funny because my husband was like, can I put the rye in the garden too? I said, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can plant the same cover crops out in the big field you can in your garden. And rye's easiest, comes up the best, make nice green grass out there this time of year. You can plant, I think the latest we planted was November 20th one year. So as long as you can work the ground, you can get a cover crop in.
Right. So we may have a window for another 3 weeks or so.
Right, exactly.
Depending, so. Although we certainly, the snow in western Iowa scared a lot of people.
Yeah, that was a little too early.
So, and for the home gardener, I mean, we were talking about the benefits in building soil and fixing nitrogen, but tell me more. For a home gardener, why invest the time and effort into a cover crop?
Well, yeah, you a lot of people would probably think that's a lot of extra effort for a garden, and it might be because you can easily add compost, for example, to a garden and put down the same amount of carbon and nitrogen that you would from a cover crop. But it also can help break cycles of weeds and insects and diseases. So I'd say the research book is still out on that as far as, you know, knowing exactly what benefits you get. We have seen reduction in weeds with rye in the following crop. We did that with the experiment with peas, and we also have done it with soybeans. So you do see a reduction. It doesn't eliminate the weeds, but
nothing eliminates
nothing
the
does
weeds.
But steel. So anything will help, and that's one good way. And then the disease and insects, you do have to be a little careful because I remember I recommended hairy vetch to my friends in Florida, but in fact, it actually brought in root knot nematode.
Hmm.
So certain cover crops can actually host pests. So check the list before you put it in.
Is this an area of really exciting research right now? It sounds like you're exploring new things all the time.
Right. Yeah. Like I mentioned, we just got this big grant from USDA to work with the University of Wisconsin and the Rodale Institute out in Pennsylvania. In addition to tweaking the equipment for this organic no-till, we'll also be looking at different cover crops and see what works best in each system.
So I mentioned the 18th annual Iowa Organic Conference is coming up. Over those 18 years, how have you seen the organic community in Iowa changing?
Yeah, it's increasing for sure. I mean, we probably have about 800 organic farmers now. And I think our last count was like 120,000 acres of organic. So it's definitely increasing. I get a lot of calls from folks, especially when conventional prices are so low as they are now. People are interested in transitioning to organic. And then once they make the transition, they start seeing the benefits to the environment. They report more earthworms and better water quality, things like that. So I think it's growing and it's really important and great that people are thinking about transitioning.
And in addition to farmers, do you get a lot of gardeners and lay people who want to come and find out about organic growing?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just got an interview with Hy-Vee, the grocery store, and they are going to run a little story about organic gardening in their magazine coming up in January. So I was happy to see that.
What kinds of questions do you get most of the time? Extension people are always interacting with the public, of course. I mean, that's part of your role in helping people improve what they're growing. So what kind of questions do you typically get about organic gardening?
Well, I was going to say, it's hard to separate the farming questions from the gardening questions. A lot of times they're similar. They overlap. This is kind of off topic, but lately, in the last couple of weeks, I've been getting a lot of questions about the health benefits. I did get that request from Hy-Vee to talk about that because there recently was this article that came out from the Journal of the American Medical Association, Internal Medicine Journal, about the benefits of eating organic and cancer prevention, lowering cancer.
And that was a French study, right?
Exactly.
And so what are some of the takeaways that you've been sharing with people from that?
Just that the researchers in France, they surveyed something like 70,000 people, and they found they associated the higher, the consumption of organic, they associated with lowered pesticide exposure. So when you're eating organic, since pesticides are not allowed in organic, mm-hmm. you might get some pesticide still, and they call it inadvertent contamination, but in general, the pesticide load is going to be a lot lower in your body. So they attributed that with lowering the risk of cancer.
Certain kinds of cancer,
lymphoma, breast cancer, were the two they pointed out.
Interesting. And again, it's an area where there's a lot of research being done right now.
Definitely.
So we'll probably see more information in the next few years. So again, before we get to our break, the Iowa Organic Conference is coming up Sunday, November 18th, Monday the 19th in Iowa City. The topic is Building Soils and Society, Assuring Sustainability Through Organic Farming. And people can still register for that event right
Absolutely.
Now.
We still have the cheap rates. After November 11th, we'll raise it $15 just to encourage people to get their registration in now so they can register online. Just Google 2018 Iowa Organic Conference.
All right. And I tweeted out a link at Charity Nebby to the conference as well, and we'll include that on our website later on today. You are welcome to join our conversation. Kathleen Dellett, Iowa State University Extension Organic Specialist, is here today to answer your questions. Richard Duran is joining us in just a moment. You can join us too. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebby. It's Horticulture Day. You are welcome to join the conversation with your questions. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me today, Iowa State University Extension Organic Specialist Kathleen Dellett and Iowa State University Horticulture Specialist Richard Duran. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today. And we've got a tweet. This is from Deb, and she says, on the subject of cover crops, she says, we're having a hard time sourcing rye seed now in the late season for conventional cover crop. Wet weather pushed our timelines back for harvest, and rye is now our best bet for germination and growth. And Kathleen, we were just talking about that before the show. The wetness in the fields has pushed harvest back for a lot of people. So how does that affect cover crops?
Exactly the same way that I was just telling Charity that we haven't even planted our cover crops yet. So we're hoping to get them in next week. Fortunately, I bought my seed probably 2 months ago. I'm glad I did. I didn't know there would be such a crush for it this year. But
right. So you were already banking on rye, so that put you ahead.
Exactly. But yeah, just it being wet, the harvest has been delayed, and now the cover crop planting's delayed. I'm Googling here and seeing if I can find some rye, if anybody's still looking for it. We bought ours from Welter Seed in Northeast Iowa. I don't know if they still have, but that's a good place to check.
All right. Well, and Deb's saying it's $12 a bushel. So that's pricey. Yeah. All right. You can join our conversation with your questions and your comments. 866-780-9100. Amos is on the line in Urbandale. Hi, Amos.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. What's your question?
My lovely better half decided to join the Arbor Day Foundation, so she came to me with a bag full of tiny little baby lilacs and Norway spruce the other day, and I'm not sure if it is still a good time to plant those, what the best place to plant them would be to winter, you know, if they need, you know, significant windbreak coverage or what that would be, and then how much water I need to give them here over the winter.
All right, what do you think, Richard?
Are they in pots or bare root?
They're bare root right now.
Bare root. And how many plants do you have?
There's a handful of each.
Okay. I think what I would be inclined to do is go ahead and pot them up, put them in pots, water them in nicely, and then find a protected location in your yard, dig a hole, and set the pots in the ground as if planting them. But they're not. They're still in the pots. And then once you've done that, then I would take some chicken wire fencing or hardware cloth and put that around the cluster of the little trees so the rabbits don't get them. Keep on watering them if it's dry through November. And hopefully they should survive. And then next spring you can dig them up and you can plant them wherever you want to. But I would look for that protected site, put them in the ground, and leave them there until spring, and hopefully they should be okay.
Great. What size of pot and type of pot?
It could be anything you have on hand. Cheap plastic pots would be fine. It's just temporary. I would guess maybe a 4-inch pot, 6-inch pot would be fine.
Okay, I've got a handful of those 6-inches left over from garden starts earlier this year, so that'll be good. And then when you said the protected area, should it be away from the wind, I imagine? Or?
Well, I would say, like, for example, maybe on the east side of a house where you have a certain amount of winter protection being on the east side. Out of the wind, a little bit warmer typically, not an open exposed site, that type of place.
Okay, great.
All right.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amos. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And we have a bunch of questions about cover crops. Ann Marie's on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Ann Marie.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
Taking my call.
Yeah.
I have a small backyard garden in Iowa City, and I've been using cover crops every fall for years, but I continue to be confused and getting unintended problems from them to the point where I was wondering if I shouldn't do it anymore. One of my problems is, you know, I plant it in the fall. It grows up nice and lush and green. By spring, you know, then it sort of looks like it's dead, but it comes back and grows in the spring, and I have to mow it off, and then I till it in. And some years it's fine, but some years, like, it, like, grows back. And especially last year I bought something from out of state that had others in the mix, and it was probably wrong for my region. It had, I don't know, it had clovers and maybe some kind of pea thing in it. But anyhow, some of the grasses grew back quite tenaciously, and I had to keep grubbing them out over and over again in the spring after I had tilled them in. And I also kind of wondered about sometimes in the spring, it just seems to keep my soil wet much longer so that I can't get in and till it up in the spring until weeks later, because it's just, you know, it's such a great protection that it's holding in too much moisture for springtime planting. So do you have any suggestions about any of those things?
No, I hear you, Marie. I feel your pain because I know when you're looking out there and you're wanting to get in and plant, and it's just still holding in so much moisture. That is one of the drawbacks of cover crops. Of course, any year when it's dry,
it's happy. It's a huge benefit, right?
So to get the perfect median is what you're striving for. But I'm glad you brought up about out of state. I that is a concern. I do recommend that you source local grains, or cover crops. It does make a difference as far as their adaptability. So I don't know what you got in that mix. Did you look at all what crops were in there? Was it rye? Was it hairy vetch?
I would have to go look that up again. I don't know. But the things that came back were grass-like. Mm-hmm. They looked like a grass.
Right. That was like, probably rye. Yeah, rye is very aggressive, again, plus and minus, because it definitely, the more it grows, the more biomass, the more carbon it's adding to your soil. But then you do want to get rid of it, too, before you plant any other crops. So, you know, traditionally we do use the rototiller for the vegetable plots to till it under. We make sure it's completely dead, gone, before we plant any vegetable crops, because it can compete if it comes back.
So what do you mean by that? Like you till it in and wait some days?
Exactly.
Then,
yeah, right. The ideal is 2 weeks between tilling it under and then coming back and planting your vegetables.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't waiting. That's good to know.
Good. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Anne Marie. I hope you have better luck with that in the next couple of years. You can always call back again if it's not working out. Let's go now to Everett on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Everett.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. What's your question? Good.
Well, I got two of them real quick. My wife wants to know if her hibiscus should be cut back now or in the spring. And they've frozen, you know, the frost is hitting them.
Right. If you have the hardy hibiscus, which typically dies back to the ground in winter, and if you've had a killing freeze, you can cut it back now.
Cut it back now. Okay. Yep. All right. My second one is that, you know, I do cover crops, and what I wonder, you know, you talked about the ryegrass. Are you talking about the annual rye, or are you talking about the winter rye? I've got the annual rye. I've never been able to get the winter rye at all.
Yeah, I know. That is confusing. We're talking about the winter rye that you plant now. It survives over the winter. The other one is called rye grass, one word, R-Y-G-R-A-S-S. And I've never got that to survive either. I didn't try it very much. I tried it in the good old days before climate change when we had hard winters every year.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it may survive through the winter here in Iowa. But traditionally, when I worked in New Zealand, it was very common there. It's, you know, it's adapted more to a temperate climate than Iowa.
Yeah, I had it winter over once, and that's all. But where could I go to get, like, this winter rye? Like a co-op or something like that?
Sure. I did just Google Welter Seed, and they have it listed, and it doesn't say it's sold out, so I would recommend trying there. Albert Lee Seed in Albert Lee, Minnesota also carries it.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that's quite a ways for me. Okay.
Right.
I will check in on it, and thank you very much, and you have a good day.
Okay, thank
you. All right,
you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Everett. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Here's a question for you, Richard, from Paul in Iowa City. I have a mop head hydrangea in my yard that may be planted too far north. Each spring, I see that a large number of canes have died. What can I do to protect it over the winter and to promote more blooms next year?
What you can try maybe is going out maybe around mid-November and placing some soil around the base. So in effect, covering maybe the bottom 4 or 5, 6 inches of the plant. And then in addition to that, maybe putting a cylinder of chicken wire fencing or hardware cloth around the plant and then filling that with something like straw or pine needles, which should moderate the temperatures and hopefully you'll get better survival.
All right. And is that something to do right now?
I would probably be doing this around mid-November.
Okay. So wait just a couple of weeks.
Yes.
All right. 866-780-9100 is the number. Rick is on the line in Ames. Hi, Rick.
Hey.
Hi. What would you like to talk
about?
Hi there.
Oh, I just thought I would offer my recipe for cover crops as a gardener. It's a little bit different, but I've come to it through trial and error.
And
hi,
he's
Kathleen,
an excellent,
by the way.
Hi, Rick. And he's an excellent gardener. I will vouch for his approach.
All right. Share your secrets, Rick.
So this time of year, I'm still trying to get a little bit more out of the garden, and things aren't cleaned up. And so planting a fall cover crop really isn't my style. But even though we're on rich glacial soils here, when you think about it in a garden, in any year, there might be one plant growing every 2 or 3 feet. So most of the soil really doesn't have anything growing in it. So it really does need a cover crop. What I do is I plant a mix of oats and a legume in the springtime as soon as I've tilled things up. And I like the oats because I can manage them. Now, they do get big, you know, and at some point the neighbors are kind of wondering, did he even plant a garden this year? But the tomatoes are down there, and I can kind of manage them site-specific, make sure that they're cleared away from the plants that need sunlight, and in some places I can let them get up, and as soon as they head out, you can kill them by cutting them off with a sickle. As far as legume, to bring some nitrogen in, I was playing around with white clover, but then I was fighting with the white clover. That stuff is awfully persistent. So this year I tried crimson clover, which is an annual, and I'm pretty happy with it. It's not very aggressive. It's pretty when it blooms, and it's doing some of the good things. But you can see as soon as those oats start growing in the spring, the soil just wakes up. You stick a spading fork in the ground, and it's just amazing the difference that you can see where that oats is growing.
Sounds really nice. Where do you get your crimson seed? Can you share that?
Oh, I just went down to Brecky's Town and Country on the east side of Ames, and they'll sell you as much or as little as you want.
Okay, yeah, so just checking seed and feed stores. I didn't think about that. Might be able to, I think, because cover crops have gotten more popular, you probably can get them now at your local seed store. Well, before you had to order them.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
hopefully.
Yeah. Rick, thanks so much for sharing your expertise and years of wisdom there. 866-780-9100 is the number to call for you to join our conversation. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And let's go now to Paul on the line in Bloomdale. Hi, Paul.
Yes, this is Paul.
Hi, what's your question?
I have some hickory nuts that I gathered in the fall of 17. They're about an inch and a quarter in diameter. I cracked three of them, and they're kind of dried out. If I tried to start them in a greenhouse, will they grow or not?
Probably not. That typically what you want to do is plant those fairly soon, and if you try to store them long-term, they typically kind of shrivel up and die. So I would guess at this point they're no longer viable. That'd be my guess.
Okay, I'll try to find some fresh ones. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. Next, let's go to Bernard in Des Moines. Hi, Bernard. Bernard, are you there?
Yes,
yeah,
I am.
What's your question?
I have a question about tall grasses. I want to plant some around my house. And I have some access to different grass seeds that have been growing this season. You know, they're 3 to 5 feet in height. One of them is Indian grass. The other varieties, I can't tell you the name, but it was on a golf course, and I asked the greenskeeper, and he said, "Go ahead and strip seeds off if you want." And my question is, will it grow if I plant these seeds, and how best do I do that? Do I need dirt to plant with the seed? Is it in the time of the year and so forth?
Well, I would also say that you can buy these plants at garden centers. For example, Indian grass, switchgrass, a little blue stem. There are some really, really nice cultivars on the market where you can actually buy these potted plants. So that's a very good option, I think. As far as the seed, I would take the seed and basically kind of scratch the ground, and then I would spread the seed out and then basically kind of rake it in very lightly into the soil this fall.
All right. So you would do the seed in the fall. If you were going to go with plants, would you do that in the fall or the spring?
No, definitely spring, because right now you're probably not going to be able to find much because most nurseries, garden centers are getting rid of their stock. And they may have very limited supplies at this point, but next spring they should have a nice selection. And like I said, there are some very, very nice cultivars on switchgrass, Indian grass, little blue stem, big blue stem, really nice plants.
All right, Bernard, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, Julie in Davenport. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
We have a cedar tree in the backyard, and our kids play on it a lot, and it's getting these brown leaves on the underside of the branches, and we don't really remember that in the past, but so we're wondering, is that a sign of trouble?
Well, it may or may not be. Is this a recent thing as far as the browning?
I think so.
Okay. So that would suggest it may be seasonal needle loss. The evergreen trees, like your pine trees, your spruce trees, your fir trees, they lose a portion of their foliage in the fall. The other trees, like maples, lindens, oaks, they lose all their leaves in the fall. The evergreens lose a portion. And so it turns brown. Some evergreens do a very good job of hiding the fact. Others not so much. But they do it in the fall of the year. And the growth they lose basically is the oldest growth. So typically it's toward the inside of the plant. So if it's toward the inside, it's probably seasonal needle loss.
Okay. And nothing to worry about?
Nothing to worry about. It happens every year, typically in the fall. The white pines show it pretty remarkably. You see those yellow needles in the actual canopy. It's very noticeable. Other evergreens do it, but they tend to hide it better.
Okay, that may be what it is. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Julie. Maybe the kids are just drawing a little more attention to the tree than usual. We are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment with more of your questions. You can call 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me today, Iowa State University Extension Organic Specialist Kathleen Dellett and Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist Richard Giron. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and you are welcome to join the conversation with your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. With me today, Iowa State University Extension Organic Specialist Kathleen Dellett and Iowa State University Horticulture Specialist Richard Giron. And another cover crop question for you here. This is from Glenn. He wants you to comment on using Austrian winter peas as a cover crop. He says, I have mine planted just this past Sunday. What do you think?
Good for you. Please let me please let me know how it goes.
Okay.
It's just like that crimson clover that Rick was talking about. He plants it in the spring to be safe. That's the safer option with Austrian winter peas. However, with global warming, they may make it through the Iowa winters now. We've done probably 4 years of research with them, and it's 50-50. So don't despair if they die. You should get something out of them anyway. They're very good. They fix a lot of nitrogen. They're not as heavy a nitrogen fixer as hairy vetch, for example, but they're easier to kill than hairy vetch, too. So
let us benefit know when it comes to planting. And I'm curious, have you done or seen research about different cover crops in different parts of the state? I mean, if he's further south, he would have a better shot, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't think about that. But
all right, he didn't say where he was, so I don't know. Here's another question for you. This is from Missy in Walcott. Our family purchased 30 acres of hilly, actually, it could be for both of you, 30 acres of hilly over-farmed land with virtually no topsoil, and we have no interest in ever farming it again. We would love to eventually return this land to native prairie. My question is, how do we help our soil in both the short term and the long term? I don't know which one of you wants to go first. You want to go, Kathleen?
Sure. That's funny because somebody contacted me about this a couple years ago, and I highly recommend you talk to people at Iowa Heritage Foundation. They can help you figure out what the best route to go. That's what these people did, and they put it all in conservation easement. Some of it they plant in prairie. Some of it they put in trees. You know, work out a whole plan to build the soil back up.
Right. And even if your soil is poor at this point, I mean, planting those native plants is part of that long-term plan, right?
Exactly.
All right. That will build over time. Richard, anything you want to add?
I would agree. Yes.
All right. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Weldon is on the line in Boone. Hi, Weldon.
Hello.
Hi. What's your question?
My question is about my fabulous ever-bearing red raspberries. I've got a nice patch, and they're done bearing just recently. I get raspberries pretty much from spring through summer into the fall. But typically, my understanding is they need to be pruned down, get rid of all the cane that produced the previous year. Can I cut them off at the ground now? They still have a lot of foliage on them.
Right. Basically, you have a couple options. One is to go out there. Now, the canes that produced early this summer, okay? This is their second year, and they should be dead or dying at this point, and you can prune those out, okay? The new canes that came up this spring, you want to leave, okay? Leave them in place. Now, next spring, you have two options. One option is to go out there in late March, early April, and cut them down to the ground completely. And what you're doing there is you're sacrificing the early summer crop. You're going to get one crop in late summer, early fall. The other option is to go out there in late March or early April and basically kind of thin them out. You can remove the very small spindly ones, leave the bigger ones. You can remove any winter kill at the tips and leave them go ahead and produce in early summer. As soon as they're done bearing, cut those off. The new canes will produce in late summer, early fall.
Okay. By the way, I have a cereal rye cover crop on my garden I got in a month ago or so. Perfect conditions, came right up, and it looks great.
Oh, terrific.
Got the seed from Brecky's there in Ames.
Thank you for sharing.
So that was this is kind of new for me, so I'm hoping this helps me out.
All right. Well, good luck with it, Weldon. You'll have to call us back next year to tell us how it worked out. Jean is on the line next in Des Moines. Hi, Jean.
Good morning. We have some lots of yew shrubs that have absolutely gone nuts this fall with all the rain. There's a lot of new growth.
Mm-hmm.
May I trim it now? They're just crazy looking.
Depending on the weather, if we have a lot of moisture in late summer, early fall, they'll send out these really long, spindly shoots.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And mine have done that too. And what you can do right at this point is cut those long, spindly ones back to the rest of the shrub so
okay.
It looks more uniform. I wouldn't prune back into the older growth, but you can prune out that new growth.
All righty. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Jeff is on the line next in Des Moines. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about using tillage radishes and any comments they have, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right, so radishes as cover crop.
And he specifically mentioned the tillage radish, which has that large taproot. They're excellent at breaking up compaction. They're used quite widely in Canada. They definitely can overwinter, but they die. So it's not really true overwintering. But when they die, they open up all those spaces with that large tillage root, radish root.
And I can see a benefit there because you don't have to terminate it in the spring.
Right. It turns to mush, and you can just wait and plant something into it or till it under or till it again. But the issue with it, I don't know how much it's going to add. It'll add some carbon, maybe a tiny bit of nitrogen, but it's not like a rye and hairy veg combination where you'd be getting a lot of carbon and a lot of nitrogen from that combination. There are some farmers in Iowa, the Roseman's out in Harlan, western Iowa, that grow it and have the cattle graze on it. Mm. So it is a good grazing cover crop. I don't know what your caller's using it for, but if you're just looking for something to build your soil, I would say it'd be lower down on my list. But if you have compacted soil, it'd be a good thing to plant to break up that compaction.
All right. And for a season, or is that something you might want to do a few years in a row if you have compact soil?
Right, but I'm for rotations, so
right.
I would try something else. I've heard that yellow clover, for example, will help break up soil too. So there are several ones that will help break up soil. USDA SARE, Sustainable Ag Research and Education, has an excellent cover crop book. If you Google that, it's like $17, I think, and it gives you probably something like 50 different cover crops. You can look at their characteristics and which one to choose for where you live.
All right. Lots and lots of choices. Here is a question for you, Richard. When is the correct time to mulch strawberries? And, well, I guess it's two questions. We'll start with strawberries.
Okay. Typically in central Iowa around mid-November, you want the plants to be exposed to some fairly cold weather. It kind of hardens off the plants. But before it gets extremely cold, you want to cover them. And we would typically suggest straw. About 4 to 5 inches, a nice, clean, weed-free straw.
All right. And the second question, when is the correct time to prune a forsythia?
I would do so immediately after bloom. They're one of the first things to bloom in the spring, typically around mid-April. And as soon as they're done blooming, prune them.
All right, and here's a quick question from Earl. Would I be wasting my time and herbicide if I sprayed broadleaf weeds this late in the year?
Not at all. You can typically spray those until about mid-November.
All right, here's a question from Dan in Gilbert. He said, I'll be starting a new asparagus bed either next year or the year after, and I'd be glad for any recommendations. But specifically, I'd be interested if your guest can recommend a year-round cover crop that can grow alongside the asparagus and keep the weeds down while adding nitrogen to the soil. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a tough one because you're going to have to, if you don't have rain, you're going to have to water your cover crop to keep it going. I thought here in Iowa you might get enough rain in the summer to keep a cover crop of hairy vetch going, but mine died from lack of moisture in July. So
This July? Because this July was very, very dry.
Exactly. Okay. So, I mean, you're going to treat it just like a vegetable crop and water it if you need to keep it going year-round. I myself have never had any luck keeping anything going all year round here. The grasses would probably be the easiest. They would take the least amount of moisture. So maybe that ryegrass that we were talking about earlier would be a good choice.
All right. And he was wondering, would hairy vetch climb the asparagus plants? Would that interact in a maybe a negative way?
Exactly. For some reason, I was thinking this was ahead of the asparagus crop. You wanted to have your cover crop out there.
Well, yeah, wants to keep it going alongside the asparagus crop.
Okay, that is a different story. Yeah, the hairy vetch will definitely climb your asparagus, so you don't want to have hairy vetch. So maybe something like clover that Rick was talking about earlier, that crimson clover might be a good choice there.
All right, and if it doesn't last the whole year, it doesn't last the whole year.
Exactly.
Right?
So you still get some benefits from it.
Right, and you're not going to have too many negatives if it does die off.
Exactly.
All right. 866-780-9100 is the number to call with your questions. You can also email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Gina is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Gina.
Hi. I was calling. I actually am from northern Minnesota, and I had purchased some rhizomes of the miscanthus, the gigantic one. And I'm wondering if I would need to cover those with some straw or if they can winter in a raised garden.
You have those on hand right now?
I do. They actually were planted midsummer, and they do have some of the greenery and so forth on them, and they're probably about 2 to 3 feet high.
Okay. I think what I would probably do is maybe later on try to put something around them for added protection, maybe again some clean straw, pine needles, something that would prevent the ground from getting as cold as it might if we don't have any snow cover, and making sure it has plenty of that around it because it is a raised bed. It might get a little bit colder there, but some type of cover like straw, pine needles should be helpful.
Okay. Okay, great. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for your call, Gina. And Richard, it is interesting because, of course, it's colder in Minnesota, but
yes,
they often have more snow.
Yes, they oftentimes do, but not always. So I think the straw, the pine needles, and the snow would be great.
All right. Got you covered for balmy Des Moines,
yes.
Iowa. All right, here is a question from Dale in Des Moines. When is the best time to aerate a lawn, and do you remove the plugs or leave them in place?
Typically, the best times are in the spring, maybe mid to late April, and also sometime in September. And typically, we just leave them on the ground, and they'll break apart over time, rain, things like that, or if they want to break down faster, they can just drag the lawn with like a piece of fencing to break them up.
All right. Is it too late to do it now?
I probably wouldn't do it at this point. I'd prefer to do it probably September, early October.
All right. That's one of my favorite things is when you tell me I can put things off. So 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Dwight is on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Dwight.
Hi, I have some hostas that are inundated with all sorts of little herbaceous weeds, and I don't want to destroy the hostas to get the weeds out. Can I cut the hostas back, or what can I do?
You can cut them back at this point, but you're going to have to somehow physically destroy the weeds by hoeing or pulling. But you can definitely cut back the hostas at this point.
Can you cut them back to ground level?
I would, or very close to ground level. Let's say maybe an inch or so within the ground. Yes. I would use a knife or maybe a pruning shears or something. Yeah.
And they'll come back okay next year?
They should be just fine next year. They're basically set for next year. So cutting them back now is not going to have any negative effect on them.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Dwight. Here's a question from Lee in Iowa City. I bought a house this summer and inherited a Concord grapevine and a yellow raspberry plant that is still producing fruit. I want to know when and how much I need to cut them back.
Okay, as far as the yellow raspberry, that's basically a mutation of the red raspberry. So you have those that produce in early summer, and that's all that they do. And then those that produce in early summer and also in late summer, early fall. So you basically treat them like a red raspberry. So if they're producing in late summer, early fall, you have a fall-bearing yellow raspberry. You can cut them back to the ground in late March, early April. Or you can leave the existing canes that them produce in early summer and then cut them back as soon as they're done bearing. Yeah. As far as a grapevine, if you want to produce fruit, we have a publication on how to prune grapevines, and I would look at that. But they do have to be pruned if you want them to produce a good quality crop.
And that would be in the spring, right, Richard?
Yes. Typically late March, early April.
All right. Great. Let's go to the phones again. Susan's on the line in Windsor Heights. Hi, Susan.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
We have a beautiful, large rhododendron bush in front of our house. My guess, my estimate is that it's about 10 feet tall. And it's wide, I would say 6 to 8 feet wide.
Okay.
A friend suggested that we should think about pruning it. He said, gee, maybe it's getting a little bit leggy. And so my question to you is, should we prune it? If so, when and by what method?
Well, as far as should you, if it's not getting too big for your site, I would just let it go. If it's getting too big, where it's getting maybe overlapping onto the sidewalk or hiding a window, then I would be inclined to prune it. But if it's not, I would just let it go. Okay?
Wonderful.
And as far as pruning it, if I did prune it, I would do so as soon as it's done blooming in the spring, before it starts to grow again. And as far as pruning, prune it like you would any other shrub if you had to.
Okay. Well, it's not, it's filling up a space, but it's not blocking a window. It's got plenty of room to be. And in fact, we planted a second rhododendron, sort of a little sibling next to it this year, and they seem to be getting along famously. So that's good news that we don't have to prune.
You don't have to. Nope. Don't have to.
All right, Susan, thanks for your call. And Lisa in West Des Moines is wondering if it's too late to plant iris tubers.
Boy, I would do it as soon as possible and cover them with straw.
Okay, do it today. Do it tomorrow.
Yes.
Richard Giron, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. Kathleen Dellett, thank you.
Thank you, Charity.
Kathleen Dellett, Iowa State University Extension Organic Specialist. And the 18th Annual Iowa Organic Conference is coming up next month in Iowa City. You can find out more information on our Twitter feed or just look for Iowa Organic Conference on the web. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.